is governed by time. Everything is governed on the spectrum of time. People go to their jobs, and they have to be at their jobs on a, you know, at a specific time. The weather, the seasons change, you know, by the set of time periods of which the type of weather that we have. And also the moon, you know, governs that as well, the seasons of time. The time span of carrying a baby, 9 months, you know, and the time in which God, you know, says it's time for that baby to be delivered. It'll come forth at that particular time. The time that you can keep your food, you know, especially that which is fresh, you know, it's on a time span as well. You can't get fresh fruit. I just thought about, I just planted my garden here this week. Just put some things in the ground, and I've been planting my stuff in the Oklahoma red clay dirt, but this time my husband went off and got some topsoil and put it on, put a tarp on top of it, and because we got tired of all this weeds growing through, and so we're using this topsoil dirt, and we're going to see how good that pans out using that kind of dirt. But anyway, it takes time for the crops to grow. You know, you just don't plant them today and look out there tomorrow and it's, you know, it's ready. No, it's going to take some, you know, a good amount of time for that stuff to take root in the ground and to burst through the ground and to bloom and get into its, you know, ripened stage. And so I want you to realize that we, as we live out our time on this earth, we have a watch. We're on a watch here that God has given us to, you know, be on guard for. And so I want you to get that in your mind. In Psalm 63, verses 5 through 7, and I wasn't sure that I was going to read that, but as I'm sitting here talking about the space of time, I think I need to go to that passage of Scripture and go ahead and read that. What did I say? Was that Psalm
63, 5 through 7.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hope I sometimes... yes, I got the right scripture. I want to make sure. I tell you, sometimes I get so involved in what I'm writing down, and God gives it to me so quickly sometimes. It's like I get excited, and next thing you know, I'm writing down the wrong scripture. Here we go. Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Alrighty. And so you see in the middle of that passage of scripture reading is that it talks about meditating on the night watches. It speaks on that, and it says, because you have been my help. And then it talks about in the time that the person lies upon their bed, in the time of rest, they meditate on God in the night watches. Now, as I share this message, this is not going to be a message to tell you need to stay up all night and watch every day, every night, and not get no sleep and go to work. This is not what this is about. But I do want you to know there are periods through the night sometimes that God will cause us to awaken. And he will have us to be on watch for whatever cause, you know, it may be. Psalms 119 and 48 speaks of us being awake in the night watch, not night watches as well in the Word of God. So what does it mean to be on a night watch? Well, it means that you're guarding or on guard. It's a division of a day or night. And I'm dealing with the nighttime. It means that the watch is there for you to protect, to beware, to observe, to take heed, or to keep oneself, to be circumspect, to give an alarm, or a notice of danger. That's quite a bit. And so as you are the one that's on watch, you're the one that's on guard, so to speak. You're the one that's there to make sure that the enemy doesn't come in and take something that he doesn't need to take, doesn't come in and destroy, doesn't come in and steal, doesn't come in to do what he says he's coming to do. We are the ones that have to stay on guard. There are watchmen that the Bible speaks of, which are people of God that God has designated to be on the wall to watch for the enemy. But I want us all to realize that we are all on a particular watch at some time or another in our lives. We are all on guard at some time or another. And we have to be aware. We have to be observing. We have to be circumspect. We have to see where danger lies, okay? In the Old Testament, watches were set or assigned to various ones to guard an area. They were to be watchful for the enemies. And as I was studying this lesson out, I found out that there's all kind of watches. I really had to separate this thing to really figure out which watch we're talking about and what, because when I read in the Old Testament, they had it broken down into three watches. But what I'm going to be dealing with is the four watches, which the Romans broke it down into four watches. But I'm just give you a little bit about what the Old Testament talks about. They have a beginning, middle, and also, and I believe it is an evening watch. And so anyway, in the Old Testament, the watches started like from 6 to 10 p.m., 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And in Lamentations 2 and 19, it speaks of the first watch. And in Hebrew, it means beginning, and also it means not easily shaken.
Lamentations what?
Lamentations 2 and 19.
Okay.
And so on this watch, the people were to go in deep intercession for their children. And prayer was to come against the darkness. The middle watch is from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And the scripture there is Judges 7, 9, and also verses 13 through 19. I have written down on that. I'm not going to share a lot on these three watches because I want to get into the four watches. But the third one, watch speaks of from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. I said evening watch, but it's a morning watch. Morning watch. I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, the day starts with the Jewish people from night, you know, from night to morning. And so anyway, from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. is morning watch. In Exodus 14 and 24 and 1 Samuel 11 and 11, you'll the scriptures there. Now, what happens as we get into sharing about the watches from the sense of the Romans? They divided up into four watches, and their watches started with, let's say, from 6 to 9 p.m. was the evening watch, and then from the second watch is 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. was the second watch. And then the third watch is 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then the fourth watch would be from, let me look at my paper here. Okay, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And so when you look at these different watches and what took place, it's really interesting. You'll see certain things happen. And how these things play out in our lives as well. Now I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to see in this particular passage of scripture what took place on this first watch. Matthew chapter 14 and beginning at, I want to keep my place for the next scripture here, beginning at 22. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So at this particular time, Jesus went to pray in the evening time. This is the evening watch. And you'll find out that Jesus prayed. He prayed in all the watches. I mean, this is Jesus. He took time to spend with the Father alone. And then when you go down to verse 32 through 34 of that same, I'm trying to see if this is in the same passage here. That's not the one. It might be the one in a Mark. It might be the one in Mark. Well, there's a passage of scripture where Jesus, after he had went and prayed, he also went to went to healing the sick and casting out demons. And I'm trying to see where that's at in a certain passage of scripture. I don't see it right here in Matthew. But he went to pray, and then he came out after the prayer. Then he went to ministering to the people. And so what I'm trying to get you to see is important about that is that we should first go into prayer to the Father, spend time with the Father before ministering to the people. Because if you go trying to minister to people before you pray, what you're going to give them is really of yourself and not really of that which God wants to give you to give of him. And so it's very important we take time to pray to God before we try to minister to people. We need to get the word from God of what he wants us to do, what he wants us to say, how he wants us to minister to the people. And so, and you'll find you'll exhaust yourself a lot quicker too if you're just doing everything within yourself. It would become a very tiring thing, and you can exhaust yourself spiritually as well as physically. And so we must take time to go before the Father in that first watch and pray before going forth to minister to the people. Because as Jesus did, his ministries was so vast, and that at various times it said that they brought all that were sick, all that were lame, demons were cast. I mean, you would have to just kind of imagine in your mindset how one man is standing here and ministering to all of these people. And you know, people don't understand when you are in ministry, it's really, it takes a lot out of you. When a person is a pastor, when they're having to study the word of God to get the message for God's people on that following Sunday, and then when they have to pray for God's people afterwards, it's like having an 8-hour job. You are really expending a lot of yourself, you know, and like I said, physically as well as spiritually in ministering to the people. And so that's why it's so important that we take the time to pray first. And I'm so glad that, you know, the scripture is set like that, that, you know, in this particular first watch, pray, spend time with the Father. And for one thing, the ministry is not what we do on our own accord anyway. It's what God imparts into us, you know, to share with others. And so that's why it's so important that we do that. Now, think about the second watch. Let's think about the second watch. In Luke 12, 35 through 38, it talks about if Jesus should come in the second or the third watch. And that's a time period of, like as I said, between 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. And then the scripture goes on talking about, you know, let us be prepared if he happens to come, you know, in between those two watches. And then not only that, in Mark 13, 32 through 35. Let me go.
Mark 13, what?
32 through 35. Okay. Amen. Mark 13. And let me read it here. It says, let's see how far I really wanted to go down here. Oh, let me get into Mark. I'm in Matthew. Mm-hmm. I had it set right here. Here we go. Okay. Now, it says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, and then it'll tell you further on about how he came and found them sleeping and spoke to Peter first, you know, and asking them, you know, could you not watch with me 1 hour and so forth. And what I want you to see here, here's another time. This, see, there's going to be different watches, but each one, you're going to be concerned about praying. You're going to be concerned with reaching out to the Father in prayer so that things will not catch you off guard. And so what we have in this second watch, Jesus was about to be arrested. And he has asked the disciples to come and intercede with him in prayer. Their hour of temptation was coming. Would they be able to stand with Jesus, or would they forsake him? And so I want you to think about this for a minute. Has someone asked you to intercede with them in prayer about a particular thing? Intercede with and for them. There's just sometimes the things come up in people's lives and they really need someone in the body of Christ to really go into a prayer of intercession for them, to intercede in their behalf for what is coming about. And see, so now you hear the disciples, they should have been interceding with Jesus. Not only was this going to be such a trying time for Jesus to you know, have to go through and being whipped and crucified, but they needed to be interceding even for their own selves so they wouldn't be tempted to run away, you know, when all these things started happening. But their flesh got the best of them. They got to being sleepy. The night got to wearing on, and they got to being tired in the flesh, and they just could not stand up, and they ended up being tempted, and they did flee. They did run away. But that's not the end of the story. We glad that God didn't say, forget you. No, he brought them back in later on. But I want you to see, there are times that will come in our lives where we might have to be on a watch to intercede with and for others. And so we can't be saying we're going to leave it to somebody else. If the opportunity presents itself to you, if it's presenting itself to you, it must be for you. Let me just say that. Mm-hmm. If the opportunity comes to you, it must be for you to be the one. And so we have to take that opportunity and we take that watch to go, you know, into prayer, to go into intercession and intercede for those that would, you know, need to be interceded for. And so just think about this. Now, that's just the first two watches. You're praying to have time with the Father so that you can minister to the needs of others. And then the second watch, you're praying so that you can intercede with and for others for specific things that have come up. You know, and it may be something that's of a nature that's overwhelming. And so when we all have these things that come in our lives that are just, you know, we're not talking about, you know, your house talking about, you know, I just got this slight headache, you know, that happened. We're not talking about somebody went and got a paper cut on their finger and you got to run to somebody's house. No, those are not, you don't need intercession prayers for that. Get you a Band-Aid. Put you some Neosporin on that thing. Get you some Neosporin, put on there. It'll heal up right quickly. No. We're talking about some things where the enemy comes and it would just spiritually knock you for a loop. I'm telling you, you know. And so you got to be, see, where we at in today's society, we have to be prepared. We have to already be prepared. We can't, when these opportunities come. We can't say, well, just wait a minute. Let me, I need to fast for about 3 or 4 days, and then I'll let you know, if I can go ahead and see. No, you got to already be there, people of God. We got to already, because we, it's just too late in the day for us talking about, we got to go do this, got to do this first. No, we've got to have already, by now, we should have already been doing some fasting and praying. By what things have been happening on this earth, we should already been, you know, fasting and praying over a lot of things that have transpired, so that we can be prepared when the situation arises. Amen. And is this a time for the prayer requests?
I do have several. This first one is just asking our viewers, our listeners, our prayer warriors to continue to pray for the firemen around here. The fire in Roger Mills County is still not out. I could see it from Highway 283 this morning. It's north of Berlin quite a bit. I couldn't really tell how far. I sent a message to my daughter that has, they have land out there, to ask her, but she teaches, and so I don't know when I'll hear back from her. But just devastating to the countryside to look over there and still see it burning. And I know they said yesterday evening that it was not out yet, and I could see, you know, smoke coming, how far it's gone north. So we want to pray for the firemen, pray for the families and the livestock in that path. And then we want to pray for rain. I mean, we need rain so bad. Everybody's saying pray for rain. We just need to continue to pray for rain. And now, Melanie, I don't just have a little headache that I want you to pray for. My blood pressure is all out of whack. Ooh. It's been, I mean, I don't know why, but I've had, my first indication was a headache last Thursday, because I don't have a headache very often. I haven't had two headaches in 25 years, but when I would have a headache, it'd be because my blood pressure is out of whack. So the bottom side, if you know anything about blood pressure, my bottom side has been up as much as 97 several times, and that's not good. And the top side's not good either. But anyway, I'd like for you to pray for that. And then we have a praise. Over 190 decisions were made by people to give their lives to Jesus during the heaven's gates and hell's fire.
Praise God.
Is that incredible?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. So we want to praise with them.
Amen. I just thought about the verses, and everything, give thanks. Mm-hmm. And Father God, I give you thanks for those decisions mm-hmm. of people giving their lives to the Lord. My God, we thank you for snatching them out of the hands of the enemy. Yes, indeed, for this is what he came for. So we thank God for that praise report. And for, I'm just looking for them to be discipled, and they will continue to walk in the pathway that, for which the decision they made to you, God. Not, I pray that not a one falls back, not a single one falls back, but they will grow in their faith walk with you stronger each and every day, more faithful each and every day to you, God. And I thank you for them being able to find a church home where they can grow in their faith and can be discipled and taught in the Word of God. We thank you for that. Now, Father God, we pray over these fires that have been taking place there in Berlin, not too far from Elk City, God. We just ask that you would intervene in that situation to cause those fires to be put out, God. Bring forth rain, God, that will rain upon the land, upon the ground, so that the fires can be put out as well, and give relief to the firemen, God. Bring rain so that it can water the ground and won't be such so dry and parched to where fires will be so easily started, God. We just ask you for the rain, the physical rain from the heavens above, to hit this land, to hit this area, and to hit other areas where fires are taking place in this country as well, God. We pray for that, God. And touch the firemen, bless them, or strengthen them, Lord. That is a very tedious thing, Lord, trying to fight these fires, very tiring, I'm sure. So touch their bodies and strengthen them, Lord. Give them what they need, Lord, to be able to fight these fires. Now, Father God, and for those that have been affected, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would restore what has been burned as far as the acreage of land and whatever livestock, Lord, restore unto them, God. Now, Father God, also pray for Neva, God, concerning this blood pressure, God, that you would touch and regulate her blood pressure. Regulate the flowing of the blood in such a way, God, that this thing would be regulated and it will be as it should be in its normal range. Anything that the enemy is trying to bring concerning her blood pressure, Lord, I pray that you work in her circulatory system, God, and just to make everything to function as you created it to function in her body in perfect order. In perfect order, God, in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise for it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You know, one of the things you were talking about, the fireman being so tired, not only that, the money that they have to spend on fuel, and we got a message yesterday on our Facebook page saying that the Radon Fire Department has an $18,000 fuel bill.
Oh, wow.
At one of the local convenience stores, actually, at Durham. And that's going around. I mean, that's everywhere. Because look at all the fire departments that have participated in these fires. They not only have equipment out there and men out there, it takes fuel for them to get there.
Yes.
And those are things that we don't think about. And I know a lot of the churches have gone together and have made food for them and taken water out and Gatorade and things like that. But the need is far even greater than that. And one of the things that we were asked to do, if we could, you know, if we could help in any way. And I know with us, it hasn't directly affected us in Cheyenne this time, but I know north of north and east of Durham, a lot of the pasture, 35,000 acres of pasture was burned. Okay. And so any of us, anybody that can, needs to send contributions. Actually, they have a fund set up at Security State Bank in Cheyenne for the firemen, and that is shared amongst all the fire departments in Roger Mills County. So several ways that you can help. We do want to hear from some of our sponsors now.